I want to read a passage from the third chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's reading from the 7th verse continuing through the 19th of the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. And you'll find my text in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I would like to open my little discussion this morning by reciting a little episode with my grandson when he was a little fella. And they were living at our house at the time, in our home. His other grandparents' name was Murphy. And he called them Grandpa and Grandma Murr. He was always wanting to go see Grandma Murr. His mother would tell him, well, Ricky, not today, but someday I'll take you up to see Grandma Murr. She lived some little distance away up in the mountains. Says, I'll take you up there someday. Well, he'd want to go see Grandma Murr again. And, well, all right, Ricky, someday I'll take you up there. Well, that went on and on till it finally came the time she was going to take him. That was the day. So I came out in the living room that morning, and I says, Ricky, you going somewhere today? No. Oh, I said, I thought you was going on a little trip today. No, not going on any trip. I thought your mother was going to take you up to see Grandma Murray today. No, Grandpa, no, someday. It had finally gotten through to him someday, and he was just grooved in on that someday. That was the day, but it was still someday to him. And that's the way it is with a lot of folks today. They're thinking about someday. I'll do this or that. Someday I'll get saved. Nobody expects to be lost. They don't want to be lost. They don't agree to that. Someday I'm going to get right with God. Someday I'm going to get the victory over this thing that's plaguing my life. Someday I'm going to get down into more earnest business at serving God than what I am now. Someday I'm going to change things in my life. But they just get grooved right in there, and it's always someday. We have a song in our book, and I think that I'll try to sing it for you. To go a little further with this discussion. Someday when God's sweet spirit, so loving and so true, has taken flight forever and calls no more for you, you'll see your sin and folly and moan in your despair. But heaven there will open, nor answer give your prayer. Someday when death shall call you and claim you for its own, behind you all is darkness, ahead 'tis drear and lone. If you've refused his mercy, no hopes of heaven await. Your soul through endless ages will mourn your doom too late. Someday when God's fierce anger falls on this world of sin, you'll knock as did the virgins, but cannot enter in. Then with bitter weeping from those fair gates of light, you'll go with other doomed ones down to an awful night. Someday, yes, when forever the mercy door is closed and your lost soul must suffer amid eternal woes, in bitter grief and anguish you'll think upon the day when trifling with God's mercy you careless said someday. If you followed me in the reading of this scripture passage, you noted that it was talking about today. Not someday. That's what Satan's telling folks, someday. But God says today. And several different times in this passage it said today. Not someday. Not just any day. He says he limiteth a certain day. It's a certain day. And that's this day in which we're now living. In this gospel age of time. He limiteth a certain day. Now this is the day of salvation. This is the day of offered grace. And you've heard me often say, and you'll probably hear me say often yet, that it is a desperately fatal mistake to pass up your time to be saved. Your day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 2, he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes. Behold, now is the accepted time. There's no time like now. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. 2 Corinthians that I just referred to, chapter 6, verse 2, says that time is now. Call upon the Lord while he's near. He's near now. He's a God at hand today. And he's near to every one of us. God is near to everybody. Now you may challenge that statement. You say, I know somebody is away off from God. And I challenge your statement. I don't believe there is any such a thing as anybody away off from God. The way they're living may be a far cry from the way God wants them to live. But these people that Paul was speaking to was a far cry from being what God wanted them to be too. They were heathens, pagans. But he said, if happily ye may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of you. He's within reach of every soul. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. And he said, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time. I have often felt this way, that the devil will work a whole lifetime to get a soul. By whatever means or by whatever maneuvers or however he has to approach it or get to it, he'll work a whole lifetime to get a soul. But God will too. God will work a whole lifetime to get a soul too. God wants every one of us. He wants all of us saved. He doesn't will the death of any, but that all would come to repentance. That's what God wants. Because God loves us, He desires that. Because He loves every man's soul, He gave His only begotten Son to give His life in a very ignominious manner for every soul of Adam's fallen race. Christ tasted death for every man. There's the love of God in that. He loves you just as much today as He did the day He gave Jesus for you. And He said after so long a time, He'll maneuver, He'll work in this way and that, He'll shape up circumstances and conditions in your life to affect you, to lead you to Him, to break you down, to cause you to recognize the need of help from a source outside of yourself. He'll deal now and then and in this way and in that way. But there comes a point of decision in every person's life. After so long a time, been going on quite a little while, a long time, but there comes a point of decision in every person's life. As it is said, after so long a time, today if ye will hear His voice. Note He said, if you will. If you expect to. How many of us here this morning would sign and notarize a statement saying that I never expect to hear God's voice? I don't ever expect to be saved. Nobody in here would do that. But now He said, if you will, if you expect to hear God's voice now or any time else, don't harden your heart. That's one thing we need to protect ourselves against, folks. Saved, unsaved, whoever you are, is to harden our hearts against God's will. A continual hardening of one's heart will bring them to a point where they won't hear God's voice anymore. If ye will, if you expect to, if you have any idea anywhere down the line that I'm going to get saved and get right with God and hear His voice, guard yourself against hardening your heart. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Joshua said in the 24th chapter of Joshua in verse 15, he said, choose you this day, today. That's what my lesson was about that I read this morning was about today. And Joshua said, you choose today whom you will serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. The choice is yours. But it must be made today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Seek the Lord while he may be found. When is that? It's when we're in our right minds, and we're up walking around, the blood running warm in our veins. Yes. That's the time that we can find God. When we have the right exercise of our minds, we're not all muddled up. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The good news that I bring you and me this morning is that God can be found. He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. God can be found. But he's one to be sought after and one to be desired. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 11, Jesus here is teaching his disciples to pray. And among other things, he said, give us this day our daily bread. I'm talking about today. Now, this present time, give us this day our daily bread. Bread here stands as a general overall coverage of all of the needs of life, spiritually and physically. Everything pertaining to our lives. Many times of a morning, when I'm starting a day, I remind the Lord of this particular thing that he told us to pray about. Give us this day our daily bread. And I say, God, give us grace for today. For today's trials. Give us courage for today. For today's problems. Give us victory for today. Give us faith today that we may be able to trust you for every situation that life presents to us today. Give us victories today. If you don't have the victory, there's victory for you. If something is plaguing your life, God has the remedy for that. If you find something pulling you back when you'd like to go forward and pulling you down when you'd like to rise, God's able to liberate you from that, and he can do it today. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said in the 9th chapter of Luke or John, in the 4th verse, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. The wise man Solomon according to Jesus' own words, or he was the wisest man that had ever lived up to his time, and God told him there'll not be another one like you after you for wisdom. He said, what your hands find to do, that do with your might. For there is no means or device or whatever, several things he mentions, in the grave whither thou goest. Now, he's talking about today. People say, I'll work for God someday. But in the 21st chapter of Matthew in verse 28, he said that a man had two sons. And he came to one of them and said, son, go work in my vineyard today. Not after you get through school, not after you get your business established, your home paid for, and your family raised. Go work for me today. Well, he said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. And he said to his other son, son, you go work in my vineyard today. He said, no, I won't go. But afterward he repented and went. But what God was wanting was present, up-to-date service. Work for me today. God wants you and me working for him today. He wants us living for him today. He wants us letting our light shine for him today. And he wants us in a position where our light will shine. And not be overshaded by any shabby living that we're doing along the line. Just live clear according to God's word that your light will shine. He wants your light shining today. He wants you serving him today. Working for him today. Son, go work in my vineyard today. It's now. A present reality. God wants you and me serving him faithfully today. And choose you this day. The Christian life is a matter of perpetual choosing. Continual choosing. Somebody says, oh, I chose Jesus 25 years ago. Who'd you choose this morning? We have to make our choice every morning when we begin our course for the day. I'm going to serve Jesus today. And I'm going to live my life honorably and to his glory today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Jesus said in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 35, he said, say not yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Isn't that what we're doing in our day? People have always done that, but I'm living today. I'm right in contact with people that's doing that today. 4 months and then cometh harvest. When I get this done and I get that done and I get everything set up and situated just like I want it and my family raised and everything, then I'll serve God. He says, don't say yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white to harvest. There's work to be done today. There are souls to be contacted today. There are people that need your help today. I saw the cover page of a little booklet. It's lying up there at home. It says, everybody needs somebody. Let us be willing to be that somebody that person that we contact today needs. Be ready and prepared to every good word and work today. And ready to drop a word of comfort and cheer today to that person that needs our help today. Today, there's no time like now. Well, I said I wasn't going to get very far, and I didn't. But I want to say this. In the 13th chapter of John, verse 27, this is where Jesus and his apostles are all at the Last Supper table. And Jesus just announced that one of them is going to betray him and told that to whom I give the sop when I've dipped it, that's the one. These fellows all overlooked it. They didn't seem to have the suspicion among them that we have among us today. Nobody was suspecting anybody. And when Jesus handed the sop over to Judas, that got by them too. When he told them that was the one, but said after Judas received the sop, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, what thou doest, do quickly. He had a mission to perform, and he said, get it done. And then down in verse 30, he said that after this, Judas immediately went out, and it was night. All such melancholy words. Such a description. He went out, and it was night. Folks, at the close of the day, night will come. Night is darkness. Judas went out into darkness that proved to be eternal darkness. But when we turn our backs on Jesus, the light of the world, and go away from him, we just go out into night. And Jesus said, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew in verse 37, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killeth them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and ye would not. How often? My text says, said in David, after so long a time. Well, it's called today. Oft lost, and I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Then the axe fell. Doom was pronounced. He says, your house is left unto you desolate. Judas went out, and it was night. He had turned his back on the light of the world, Jesus. And he was out there in the night, and when he did that, his house became desolate, and he couldn't endure the desolation. He went and hanged himself. I was in the home of Brother Elihu Key over in Ohio. One time, Brother Elihu Key was an old-time minister in the Evening Light Reformation of the Church of God. He was the father of Brother Ray Key, who some of you folks knew. He told about when he was a young man in the ministry. He had brought a message in a service, and the Spirit of God had dealt strongly with a certain young man there. And that man was shaken. He was physically shaking. Things around there were shaking. Brother Key said he went to him and tried to persuade him to come and give his heart to the Lord, and he said no. He turned and went out, and Brother Key said he followed him outside and down the road a ways, trying to persuade him to come back and seek the Lord. And he said no. In about the middle of the week, someone came with a message for Brother Key to come quickly over to that home. He went over there as rapidly as he could go, and they had discovered their son hanging from the rafters in the barn. Such desolation had settled down on that boy when he said no the last time to God. Just put God away from him. He couldn't endure the desolation that was in his own soul. He just went on out and hanged himself like Judas did. In my travels around the country, I've been in crowded train stations and bus depots, and in the busy concourse where they jostled one against another in the broadways of life. And many times I have thought, I wonder how many of these people are desolate. Are there any people in this multitude that have said no to God for the last time? If there are, they're desolate. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And that desolation is real desolation. It's hard to endure. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, but let us rest assured that at the end of the day, night will come. And when we have said no to God for the last time, it's total desolation from there on out. Your house is left unto you desolate. Today, let's stand and sing a song, see if there's anybody that wants to come and pray, needs help in your soul. need salvation, need to be sanctified, God's dealing with you about anything you need victories in and deliverances from, tend to it today.